going to see a chacham. A tragedy strikes him. You're not going mikra chavako. Okay, he means that there is no way. If you're looking for that external support for your life, you see, then you're not going to find it. And the only way is to realize that there's only one really perfect existence for man, the existence of perfection. And that is to be removed from any kind of fantasy and to recognize that the great thing is right here. Lech echo b'simcha lachmecha. It means to say that what is great in life? He has a good meal. It means the fantasies don't exist. That security that you're looking for is simply not there. The only thing a person can do is he must live the Derech HaChaim of Torah, because it's intrinsically proven, you see, and Chochmah is the greatest value, both in the practical, and also it's Mechaye Baleha. It's something which a person, Mi Ke Chochmah Mi Yodeh Pesha Dovar, Chochmah Sadam Torah, Panav Oz, Panav Yishun. This is the only way of life. He's attracted, and he cannot remove himself from that life, because he has no choice, but also he must be able to remove from himself the need for all those fantasies, you see. And it's interesting, but Chazal identify that with one thing. It's a very interesting thing. How did Chazal identify that with? It says, he says, Lech Echmal B'Simcha Lachmecha, is, what does he say? He says, Rashi I just mentioned before. Where's the question? Test. Okay, Rashi says Reichaim Misha. That's Reichaim Misha Sharhafta. Same thing. It means Reichaim Misha Sharhafta means that you must simply forget about a person. The only solution is for a person to remove himself from the need for the corroboration, because Gamim Yama Achacham Limtzo Lo Yimtzo. First of all, you'll never be able to find it, and besides, this is really essentially the Nesoyin Achayim. This is the Nesayin Achayim. The Nesayin Achayim is for man to be able to live according to Chochmah, because it's Chochmah, like the Rambam says, because it's Emes, because it's true, and he should have no need for the external corroboration, whether it's from the life of the Chacham, or whether it's from the Makom HaMishpat, or whether it's from Dor Holech, the Dor Ba, or whether Kein Zichron L'Chacham HaMaksil L'Olam, all those things is showing you the support systems all fail. So there's only one choice. The choice is that the person should live the life of the Derech Chaim of Torah, because you know your mind tells you this is the correct way, this is the correct life, you must do it, and because of the fact that it is the only life, then it's Machayas Balel. But it's interesting. What the Chazal tie that to? You see, he says, what does Rashi say? Rei Chaim Misha Shahafta, Rei Vahovin Lumod Umnisles Parnes Mimenu Im Talmud Torah Shabiyadcha. It's an interesting thing. Chazal maintain that the expression of that lifestyle is what? There's one thing. Chazal always mentioned this. Umnis. A person should have his financial should not be dependent on another human being. That's basically what he says. You see, this is the pasuk. Reichaim and Misha Shehafta. This is the pasuk, and that's what it says. Kol Yimei Chayev Lecha. Why is it Kol Yimei Chayev Lecha? It's precisely because he's telling you that this it is Chayev Lecha. When you look around, it's Hevel, and the support is not there. It is Hevel. It's Chayev Lecha. But this is what you must do. You must be able to extricate yourself from the need for the supports and be able to live a life which is Chai Rechan in the Isha Asher Haftar Asher Nosan Lachot Hashem Kol Yimei Hevlecha Ki Hu Chelkecha B'Chaim Uva Molcha. That's what he's saying, basically. He's saying this is your Chelek, and a person has to face the reality of the fact that there are no fantasies, there's no, this part of man cannot be satisfied, can't be satisfied. And anyone who follows those desires is destined to fail, whether it's the secular life, whether it's the religious life, any kind, whether it's the life of the intellectual, any kind of lifestyle is going to fail. But the only solution is for the person to remove himself from the need and to recognize what the true good is. The true good is not the fantastic that man is looking for, not the fantastic emotional, where the emotions are drawn to, that doesn't exist, but it's really a very simple way of life, a very simple way of life where a person has the good. But in order to have that good, one thing which he says a person must have, it's an interesting thing, Chazal always mentioned this, in a lot of places I know don't take notice of it, but Chazal always mentioned it, Rashi says, Re'ei Chaim Mishoy says, Re'ei V'Hovein Lilmod Umnis Lis Parnes Mimenu In Talmatar Shaviyacha. Okay, what does it mean? In Masisa Kain Yechel Kachazeh Chaim Ba'olam Azeh Lis Parnes Mimenu Umnis U'Ba'olam Abor. Okay, that's what he means. He means to say a person cannot live a perfected life if he depends on others for support. That's what he's saying, basically. In order for a person to have a perfected life, his living cannot depend on another human being, another person. It must be from his own oneness. If he doesn't do that, there's no perfection. Then he's thrown into the need to place himself in gear with the fantasies of man because he's dependent upon man. You see, the only way you can do it is if you're independent, financially independent. That's what he's saying, basically. He doesn't have to be a wealthy man, but he shouldn't be an individual that is a poor person that's a nitzrach labrios. If he's a nitzrach labrios, then he cannot have a perfected life. That's what he says. That's why Chazal emphasized again, Tov, what does he say? That he says himself. He says, Tov chochma im nachalah. He says, it means to say that if you're dependent on others and you have to cater to them, Then you know what you have to do. You have to get yourself into their fantasies, because if you're not in line with their fantasies, you cannot be subservient to them in the way that they will find you appealing, and they will be generous towards you. You're not going to be the beneficiary of their generosity unless you place yourself in their mindset. And then you're going to be destroyed. That's why he says. What he says is, yes, that's correct. He says, you see, there's a difference. There's a difference when you supply something in need for the society, and the society needs you. You have to be a chacham politically. You don't degrade people. You don't put them down, but you don't have to share in their fantasies because you have an objective object. An objective good that you're supplying to society. So they come to you because of what you can produce. You don't have to be disrespectful to them. You don't have to debase other people. But you don't have to. You do not have to look for their generosity. You see, in the moment you do, then you're caught up. You're going to get caught up in the hevel. You see, you're going to have to get caught up in the hevel. That's what the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Chiyum Matana. Hatzadikim agemurim v'anshei maisa lo yekablu matana me'odom elabotchim b'ashem baruch shemo lo benedivim. You see that? Lo benedivim. It means the person that's a mekabel matana. They didn't want to have that emotion of being mekabel matana, because the moment you accept them, they say, oh, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Oh, maybe if I find favor in his eyes, I'll get something even better. Okay? You see, that's a natural trend of a human being. Why? Because a person is looking for security, and he thinks al tiftachu v'ndivim. That's all David HaMelech, the psukim al tiftachu v'ndivim, because that is the most dangerous emotion. He says elabotchem b'ashem baruch shmo v'lo b'nedivim v'harei nemar v'sonei matanas yichya. Okay, that's what it means. Yichya means the true life. So therefore, that's one of the most important yesodos of the Derech HaChayim of Yahadus, is that a person should be able to earn his own livelihood and be independent. Then he could be an independent thinker, then he could be an independent philosopher, and then he can live a true life. But if he is dependent on other human beings, he's going to have to make their values. If a person thinks he could simply depend on others and not be affected by the lifestyle, that's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. As the Pasuk says, The greatest chacham, the moment he takes it, he cannot help himself. He must be distorted. His mind's going to have to be distorted. So the only way is, that's what the Rambam says, that the tzaddikim, Hillel, may have been, some of them were rich, some of them poor, whatever it was, but they never took anything from another human being. That's what the, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Chiblu lachem min ha'adam ki bameh nechshavu. Artikli bameh el abama. Means to say, Chiblu lachem min ha'adam, means cease from man. If you have to look from man for your support, and the greatest, most crucial need in a person's life is his financial support. That's what he wants to say. That's called a kuma shebra glayim zemamono shaladam shemamida raglo. Okay, if a person can't stand on his own 2 feet, that's the most frightening thing. So therefore, he looks for others to help him. He looks for others. He's not an independent thinker anymore. He's subordinate to their judgment. He must place himself into their fantasy life in order to find favor in their eyes. The only way to avoid it is Rei Chaim Mimoisha. It means Omnisim Talmud Torah, where he's independent. If you don't do that, there's no perfection. It's impossible to accomplish the advice of the whole Kohelis if you don't have that. Okay. He's learning that the mushal, that an Isha Shara Hafta means the something which is a great necessity. In the world of the Mashalim, the Isha is a mushal for the for Panas. So Yisachar and Zvulun is different. So Yisachar and Zvulun is a different kind of a situation. That's not a situation where Yisachar was looking for it. That's something else. It's not present, and makes a deal with him and says, look, this is what I want you to sit and they approach them. That's a different kind of a thing. But not, you see, certain things are very close in appearance, but they're very, very distant in reality. It looks like that, but it's not. That's a totally different thing. I say the Rambam's brother supported the Rambam. It's a different kind of a thing. The Rambam never looked for support. That's correct. Zvulun is different, because Zvulun had the correct ideas. And his motivation was the correct motivation, and he made the deal as a different thing. But that's not, if people look at things, as I say, they're totally, totally different, but they confuse them. And the reason why they confuse them is because man tries to avoid reality. It is something which he, by nature, his emotional makeup is such that he looks for an easy way out. He's looking in my opinion, a person that looks for another human being for support, it's not really the money that they're looking for. They're really looking for the endorsement. They're looking. There's something, they're gaining something. It's not the money. Why do the people, money really plays, aside from bare necessities, after bare necessities, money plays a very small, physical, practical role, but it plays a very large psychological role. Okay, a large psychological role. And when a person looks for others to support them, it means they're really looking for more than money. They're looking for the emotional support and security from the acceptance and the acceptance of other human beings. To be accepted by other human beings. That's what they're looking for. And that's what a person has that kind of a... if a person should follow that kind of a lifestyle and cannot get over that need, then he could never live. He could never have a, true life. Never have chayim. Okay? That's really the that's the answer of Kehelis. The answer of Kehelis ideationally is that the person must overcome that need that he has for the support from people, from society, even from the cycles of reality. Cannot expect it. But the practical advice is it can only be accomplished if the person is independent financially. If a person is not independent financially, cannot even begin to do it. Even if he is, it's a great labor, a great work. But if he doesn't have that basic premise, it's impossible. Yes. I know it's a difficult topic. I just want to round it off a little bit. In other words, what he's saying is like this. If a person will say it doesn't bother him, how come the chacham dies with the fool, then he's himself a fool. I mean, it has to bother you. It has to. There are things that are disturbing and have to bother you, and there's no answer for it. But What he's saying is, that's where he says that Holokim Asa Adam Yashar Vein Bikshuk Hashem. He means to say, but when you study man on a deeper level, you'll see that he's capable of summoning up his energies and progressing in spite of those things if he sees the essence of Chachmah. Then he will be able to overcome those things which he sees which are disturbing, and they will be disturbing. There's no answer. It will be disturbing, and he should recognize them. You can't put things out of your mind. But he says his solution is that man is of such a nature that it is possible, if he really sees Chachmah, to be able to expend all his energies in the world and the lifestyle of Chachmah, and it will not impede his function. That's his answer. Okay? Well, the basic, of course. Let me just first make two corrections. One of them is more of an elaboration. The first one, that is, that with regard to Bigzu Ligno Sefer Kohelas, I just want to explain what I meant. I just said very briefly, I said they wanted to take it out of circulation. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't mean like the people who read our Torah and have no knowledge of the principles of our Torah. I mean, they misunderstand totally, but they think that what it means is that they wanted to ban the Sefer Kohelas. They didn't say bitchin less our Sefer Kohelas. And the more as I say, we say strong for some, they ask it. Less, lignos is not less. Two different things. To understand what lignos means, you have to understand the halachas of the Torah, namely the principle that dvarim shebechsav, iya Torah shoy lomam balpeh, dvarim shebalpeh, iya Torah shoy liknam bechsav. Okay? So that's the yisod. I mean, you can't understand lignos unless you understand the halachic principles of what gnizah really is. Gnizah means when you take something that's b'chsav and you donate it to Moshav. It comes from the actual halacha of gnizah, which means you take something that's b'chsav that's deteriorated and you put it in the ground. That's what gnizah means. Doesn't mean not the same thing as lesser. What it means is the Chazal never wanted to answer Sefer Kohelas, they wanted the gneza on it, because you understand the main difference between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebalpeh is that Torah Shebechsav is Motzei B'Yad HaHamon. I mean, that's what it written Bechsav means, that anyone can have it. Okay? Torah Shebalpeh, you can't, anyone cannot have it, because it's based upon the halacha which is Iyatariha. Today, of course, people that are Israel, they're looking at the way it is today, you have Gemara. But that's not really the original halacha, it's not that way. And only matter that the doche, I mean, if you hear the Nessa, the Mishnah, the Gemara, it's a whole, you need a matter to write them. And unfortunately, today people aren't aware of it, it's just like anything. But it's very helpful. But the halacha, Me'ikra, Din halachas, are not permitted to write down. The Gemara says that those who write down the drushim have no kind of olam haba, because what they're doing is they're giving to the Hamon information which they're incapable of understanding, and they were written the derech mashal for a chacham, and then Amar takes it literally, and he misinterprets it. So when it says bichu nigno sefer kohelas, what it means is they wish to remove it from the realm of Torah Shebechsav, because since his Dvar of Soshim is there, the Hamon is not capable of understanding it, and they're liable to grab onto a pasuk, which is to them appeals to their emotions, and they'll say, oh, you see that? Kohelas is no benefit of learning. No benefit of learning. No benefit of being a chacham. So therefore, they wanted to remove it from the realm of Torah Shebechsav. And the Rambam explains in the Amar Rucham, why is Dvarim Shebalpeh Torah Shoy Liknam Bechsav? Because of the fact that it can't be Metziyah Etzel HaHamon. And that's the whole difference between Bechsav and Balpeh. Balpeh was guarded, Shifshei Kain Yishmu Das. I mean, that's Torah Shebalpeh. So this whole concept of Gneza, you can only understand it if you know the halachos of what the difference is, the halachic differentiation between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Two different kinds of things, okay? Torah Shebalpeh is given over to Chachmei Yisrael. Torah Shebechsav means it's permitted to write it down, it means it's available to everyone. Bichu Ligno Sefer Kohelas means they wish to be gneza on it, just like when a Sefer Torah said that deteriorated, you put it in the ground and you don't rewrite it. I mean, that's what it means. Gneza means permanently to take the Torah Shebechsav and just
put it in the ground, and you're not going to reissue it. Okay, that's what Geniza means. That's what it comes from. It comes from a lot of Geniza, a lot of destruction. Okay? So what it means is that they wish to remove it from the hands of Ramon, because it would be like this. If they would do that, so what would happen? So then it would become Parashat Ba'otel. Right? Parashat Ba'otel, you'd never write it anymore. So you wouldn't be able to circulate it. You understand what I mean? You wouldn't circulate anymore among the Hamonim. All right, so it's like the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Megillah. He says that Lo'asid Lovo, the only thing that's going to remain is Chamishcha Kitara and Megillah Sefer. Okay, so what does it mean? It's given a theme and nothing? No, they won't have the status of Rosh Vachsav anymore, because the Hamonim won't have to make recourse to it anymore. But of course the idea is, insofar as the Parashat of Baal Pan is concerned, you can't destroy ideas. I mean, the ideas will always remain. The drushes from the Nevi'im will always remain. But the Parashat of Chasav of the Nevi'im will not be necessary in the loss of love. The only thing that's going to remain is and so forth. Okay. But this whole concept, when they say Libya, the people, the biologists and historians, they just don't understand what the halakha of Geniza means. It's not less or Geniza. It is the halakhic institution of Geniza, which is based upon the principles of Parashat Achsav is the Parashat Achsav has one status. Anyone can write it. It means it's essentially the difference of Achsav and Baal Peh. The Achsav is available to anybody to write it down, and anyone can have it. And that's the whole institution of Achsav. That's become meticulously, carefully, to make sure that everything is accurate, but it's committed to be given over to anybody. Anybody could have it. But that's about pay. You can't. That's what it means, big religion and so on. Okay. That's what I just meant to briefly take it out of circulation. But the process of removing it from circulation is our local process. Because if you become first about prayer, and they'll be out of circulation. That's what it means, big religion. Okay. Yeah. That was a good much like this among Kafir and Israel. That's exactly the same thing. Now, the basic medicine is not going to affect about that. There's enough focusing on the age of learning. To remove it from circulation through the halachic process of Dvon, make it into Dvon's about that, remove the status of Dvon's about that. That's what it means. Okay. How come you have mice and makavas written down? Yeah, that I want to understand. Why does every pasuk the Yid, every simple Jew says every morning, the chorus of Zeviyama, chorus, you know what he's saying, and both of them in promo, and I am in Kazor, I mean, you know, why is he saying that? The answer is because it's important in our system that even the simple person knows that there is a tremendous problem. That's very important, that's your story. That's why everybody has to say that, because they have to know that there is a system of Fachma, even though they don't know it. Okay? But the way the Navi wrote the Maisa Makava, no one can get any ideas out of it. Wrong ideas or any kind of ideas, unless they really know how to decipher the concept, which is a very high level person. So that's not a danger. So why is Maisa Makava written? Maisa Makava is written in order that every person must know that there is a tremendous system of Chachma. In the Dias Hashem, in the institution of the Dias Hashem, that's why you have Maisa Makava. But it can't be misleading because they just don't understand it. Anyone looks at Maisa Makava and they can't tell them. You know, you just don't know what it means. I mean, you're fine with the wheels, with the eyes, with the wheels, you don't know what it means. You just give up. Okay, you give up. Okay, I mean, Maisa Makava doesn't lend itself to any kind of emotional interpretation. You just blank. Okay? That's okay. That's okay. But Chachma Shlomo is different. Why? Because over here people will grab on to certain circum and they'll say, yeah, there's no purpose in this. He says, Lama Chacham Pi'am Yos Yosem, Mikrecha Lakol, that appeals to that idea to people. So I'll say, yeah, see, Shlomo himself had his doubts about the whole concept of Shoros and Ephraim. I mean, that's what they're going to say. You see, that's what happened to him. That's what happened. Exactly what happened. Unfortunately, the greatest fear came true. People didn't say, no, Sof Davar Kol Mishma, so I don't understand all these things. I'm a push of the year, I don't understand. Sof Davar Kol Mishma, and that's it. They didn't say that. You see, they didn't say that. Because I had to make a decision, you know. But many people, unfortunately, the fear of Chazal was realized, by people who just jumped in and thought the Islam officers was actually a fellow. They don't understand the whole concept of Kahalas. There's no concept. There's a man you mentioned. He doesn't ask. He enunciates every one of those statements. He says that there is Hashkosh. Twice he says. Twice. There's no grammar. It's not Hayatelah. Nefesh, Nefesh Adam Ha'olahi Lamayla. It's not Hayatelah. It would be Ha'nefesh Adam Ha'olahi. Nefesh Adam Ha'olahi. Hey, idea. I mean, all those grammar knows it. Rashi, knows everything. But the point is that these people are just looking for things that appeal to their emotions, and they go over it in a very cursory manner, superficial way, and they grab onto anything that appeals to their emotions. You know, that was a danger. That's a danger to hell. That was a big danger. But of course, it's very difficult to go into the deliberations of Chachmei Yisrael when it comes to Takanos, or when it comes, they had deliberations, and their decisions were based upon knowledge of psychology and philosophy. I mean, a lot more psychology of Mon. But the conclusions are, in general way, they felt that the way the Sefer is, the conclusion, the way the Sefer is, it's not going to cause harm among the general Hamon, because they'll see that he does say, So most people say, all right, so that's the final analysis. This is what he came out with. So they respect his Chachmah enough to know he didn't ask a lot of questions, but this is his conclusion. That's what they, that was the question. The question was, will they rely on his authority in terms of his conclusion, or will they say no, they'll be attracted to the question and they'll be drawn away? That was a deliberation. We can't know really more than that. We weren't there. I mean, I'm sure there are many factors that were mentioned, but it's very hard to go back and see, you know exactly what the details were. But you see, the Chachmei Yisrael have the right to be Koveya, a Chetzis and Torah. They have a right to be Koveya, either as Teres of Asav, or as Teres have a right to do it. They said they have a right to make a Pachana. If they see it's bad for the Hamon, they have a right to remove it from the status. That's what's wrong. Isn't that, as I told you, the Nevi'im, Divrei Nevi'im, are totally different status. How many schools of Torah is that? That's it. No one can touch how many schools of Torah is it. Every word, every letter. But when it comes to Divrei Nevi'im, Divrei is different. Divrei Nevi'im is different. The function and the role of Divrei Nevi'im is essentially to expand on some of the ideas that were just mentioned briefly in the Mishnah Torah and to make it palatable to the Hamon Am. So that's the function of it. If it's not functioning properly, so then you have to remove it. I mean, it's not Mishnah Torah. I mean, you have to mention it less than. People have a thing with they think of, it comes from a greatest idea of the Bible, you know. There's Mishnah Torah, and that's what is going on. The Mishnah Torah is, Amito Shel Torah. That's really, Chamisha Chol Shel Torah is everything. It's everything. Ela Gvam Etan Shein Nova Shel Achadah Dov Mehav. Everything is Chamisha Chol Torah. That's it. But Divrei Nevi'im is a different status. It's a different kind of a thing. Okay, it's a Yiddish. Kedushas Kishma Torah is a different kind of a thing. Qualitatively differentiated. Just like Nevuas Moshe is qualitatively differentiated, you say the Torah's Moshe is totally different than any Divrei Nevi'im. Okay. There's no one-term Bible. Today's idea. Okay. And then I think Jeff Beer asked me a question of Reichheim and Esau. So his question was, why Reichheim and Esau share a Hafta? So we mentioned that that's referring to the fact that a person must have a Panasa. That's an extremely important thing. But he asked me a question why it's, it's not Rei Chaim and Misha Asher Ahavta. I mean, just the point is out of the bus. It means Rei Chaim means the Parnasa. In Misha Asher Ahavta is Talmud Torah. Okay, the Isha is always Torah. Okay, that's what it means, right? Rei Chaim and Misha Asher Ahavta means Parnasa. In Misha Asher Ahavta, the Isha is Torah. That's what it means, okay? Okay, thank you. So Ellis, test. Reichaim and Misha Asher Ahavta Kol Yidei Chayev La. Okay. That's the Ellis test. Reiv Avin Lumod Umnus is punished Mimenu in Talmud Torah Asher Biyadah. Okay. And What it means, I mean, that's an extremely important principle, and that's the, the Rambam is, based on certain, but the idea that you can really see the veracity of Torah and compare it to the Torah is a limit of cloven rock. There's a limit of rock. He says, let's understand Ra. That's what God is doing. And the more you understand of Ra, you see the opposite, which is Torah, which is Torah. So the concept of the concept of in Yahadus, this principle, Rei Chaim and Isha, is an extremely important one. You see, the Goyim, they put down money. They put down money, okay? In their Bible, they say, roll into the rich. the rich, money's evil, yeah. In Yahadus, we say just the opposite. Yivorecha for Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yivorecha for Hashem v'mamon, v'yishmerecha min amazikin. Okay? You see, that's the trick. A lot of people would have moments, but there are plenty of mazikim. It's not just the rechim and the mazikim, the moment doesn't really work. I mean, the mazikim is what the me'iri says. The mazikim is deos on the shabshas. The deos on the shabshas. That's the whole idea. It's not a mito. It means, which mazikim does it protect you from? The deos on the shabshas. If the money is a big bruch. But what is the bruch of money? What is the bruch of Yisrael and Mazikin means that the person, if the person is a Baal Taiva, that's the Mazikin. It means it's just destructive, it's worse. That's the Gamla Lot Aholach of Avram. Lot was worse, and he got a bruch of Mammon, but he was worse off than he was before. You see, the moment he got money, what happened? Right away, he wanted to put some gezo. He couldn't want the realm. They had a whole mafia over there. Because he couldn't stand why he wanted to pass through the sheep and to muck him gezo. You see. So what happened? What the money did for him was it made him more greedy than he was before. Because suddenly he got something which raised his status and made him feel important. So the attachment to the money caused him to be more greedy than he was before he got the money, and that's why Avram said, the Pharisee says, it's a little between the Romans, a little between Avram and Lot. I'm not seeing the Rebbeinu of Enecha. Okay, he saw already Avram, this is already a departure. The money already changed him, it was a Kalala for Lot, and Vayehalat Stone in his death. Okay, so the point is, that money as a bracha is a very big thing. What is the bracha of money? What is the bracha? That's the same bracha of panasa, reichayim manisa. It means that the person, the whole of the yahadus really has a movement towards a certain goal, which is intrinsically a movement away from a certain goal. The movement towards the goal is a movement towards a kadosh baruch. Okay, but when you move towards God, you're simultaneously moving away from something else, and that is man. It's a movement towards God, a movement away from man. A person could be, if a person is a father, as a person is dependent on man, he can't really relate to God, because of the fact that he's dependent, he has to impress other people in order to gain his subsistence. I mean, that's the most important thing in Egypt. That's why really you see that the Manhige Yisrael were Ashiram. They're all very wealthy. Okay, although he was in Bayona, he went and he said, he says, and a big ship, a lot of people, he said, we're going, okay, he killed everybody's entire amount, and the ship went off, for him alone. Okay, it was just him, the Rav HaChovel, and the Malachim. So the bracha of Mammon is that the person is independent, And he doesn't have to worry about his subsistence is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then any decision he makes is between him and God. Wasn't it a Melech Yisrael, Misha, Inlo, Olav, Elo, Hashem, Lakor? Okay? That means it's a necessary thing. I mean, the whole way of our life, our whole society, again, it's a Christianized idea. The Goyim really had a system. Comes to the pagans. The pagans were the ones who were the leaders, the holy group, they never were. And they gained support from the others. Okay? And you have this Talmud Chacham does have certain rights, but the Talmud Chacham is the leader, doesn't take any wages. I mean, what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Lo kamach amen nasosim. Small enough, it's a little bit smaller. Before he gave them Musa, he said to the people, he says, I never took anything from anybody. He says, anyone that thinks otherwise, let them say now. So he never took anything from his leadership of the people was not in order to have a palasa. It was completely voluntary, based upon his knowledge. And when he made a decision, he only had one thing to consider. Is this correct or is not correct? He didn't have to worry about whether he's going to get fired from his job. Okay? I mean, unfortunately, Bisman Hazan, this is something which Chazal, as you know, all supported themselves. I mean, what was it, one of the Ksubas over there? We had to be done. He told somebody, if you could take off my job over here, I'll go and I'll do the Adman. Okay, Shnei Dan Adveris, Adman. So, yes, so he was talking about take over the job, okay? But once a person gains support from other human beings and has to impress them, I mean, his decision is just compromised right then and there. Okay? It's unfortunate the way the system works out today. It's totally different. It's a completely different thing than the way it was originally. Once you're dependent on somebody else, your panas has to be totally independent, financially independent. If you're financially independent, you cannot make an objective decision. Okay? Yes. Kohanim and Levi'im is different. That's okay. To do the Avodah of Migdash doesn't matter. You do the Avodah of Migdash. But so far as being the manhig Yisrael, the manhig is not the. It's true. The purpose was because mostly to give an opportunity to the Kohanim, the Yom of Pesach and Yavos, that's true. But it's not their subsistence is in a generic way, not in a specific way. We don't support this Kohen. You understand what I mean? This Kohen doesn't have to worry about whether you like him or not. He has the Tumas and Maisos, that's it. Okay, it's a different kind of thing. There was a system where one chelak of the Yam, the part of the Yam is this, should be able to involve himself, shouldn't be burdened with this panos. That's a different kind of thing. It's a different system. Okay. But the individual, I mean, that's not dependent on any of the people. You know, it's pretty nice. But the leader, the Talmud Chacham, the institution of leadership, the Talmud Chacham, or the Navi, was not dependent upon the Hamonah for support. I mean, the problem of the Melech is the problem of the Melech is the Vinci Win of Ova. That's the problem. The Melech has a problem is he faces he is very independent, but he has other problems, especially the problems of Gaiva. The Vinci Win of Ova, works to remove that. You can't have treasures, you can't have money, you can't have anything. I mean, each one is just a reason. I'm talking about the leader. It's an extremely important concept. That means to say that a person psychologically is always pulling in what other people think of them. That's a psychological fact. I suppose when I say, Yochanan Zaka says, that I mean, it's a natural instinct in man. Man wants approval and recognition from his peers. Okay, but that's a difficult battle enough. With in general, that's a psychological battle. But if you add in panasa, the man doesn't have any other chance. If the person is independent, then he could work on his perfection, and he shouldn't be concerned with what other people think. That itself is a kind of a high end, which is extremely difficult. But Without independence, forget it. You can't even get started. You have to prove you're exotic to everybody else. It's hopeless. It's basically hopeless. I mean, professional exotic means that that's his profession. He has to demonstrate that he's exotic. You understand very well that you can't bring the time at Snail Lefes and Melocheca, which is such a part of a. Of course, it's all the same for Mayan and this, but the fact remains that the bottom line is that Yad decided it's impossible. So, those are the two things I want to mention. But let's get back to the main, of course, the Kehelas, I think, is first. I mean, the way all the Divrei Chachamim v'Chidoshim, they don't give it out readily, I think, is first in the whole Sefer Kehelas. But basically, as I mentioned, Sefer Kehelas, really, it's not what anybody would call a religious work. I mean, he takes up every single lifestyle and he shows the downfall, the destruction of every lifestyle. He takes up the lifestyle of the empire builder, the lifestyle of the playboy, the lifestyle of the person who, the religious individual, the lifestyle of the person who lives for Olam Haba, the lifestyle of the ascetic, every single conceivable lifestyle, the lifestyle of the Chacham, the lifestyle of the Chacham as well. Okay, the professor, the person that's that has the image of intelligence. Every single lifestyle is taken up in the Sefer and shows each one how it fails. The principle, of course, upon which the demonstration of the failure, what is the demonstration of the failure? The demonstration of the failure is the principle of cunning. Okay? That's the most basic principle in Sefer. How does he destroy all these things? I mean, it's not lengthy dialogues. He destroys it with one blow. Basically, the blow is as follows. That a person in conflict can never be happy. Conflict, by definition, means unhappiness. Okay? Therefore, he shows that in order for a person to live, in order for a person to live, if I show you a lifestyle, and I show you that with this lifestyle, you're going to have to blot out certain ideas, which means you're going to have to say that your mind cannot think of this thought, so then that's the end of it, because basically it means a suppressing a part of your nature, and you're in conflict, you can't be happy. Okay? See, happiness is only possible where the total personality is gaining satisfaction. What is happiness? Happiness means where every aspect of the organism is being satisfied. So then a person can have happiness. But if he's in conflict, if the person is in conflict, if he has to suppress certain ideas, then I mean he can't be happy. That's why Kehelas maintains a very sad premise, but a person really cannot face life unless they can face death. Because if you have to blot out of your mind every day the idea that you're going to die, I mean, then that part of you is constantly keeping down a certain idea, so you really can't have it. You're in conflict. That's a conflicted life. A conflicted life can never be a happy life. That's basically his premise, and he shows every single lifestyle, that's how he repeats his lifestyle. Because each lifestyle he shows has to deny, be in denial with regard to certain ideas. Once the person has to be in denial, they have to be in conflict, and conflict you can never, can't be happy. Okay. That's a simple principle, but that's basically it. There is when I say there's a difference between a conflict in philosophy and a situation in which a person has to make a decision. That's a different one. If a person is in conflict, the most important thing to a person, the most important ingredient in a person's life is that his Derech HaChayim should be in conflict. That's number one. If your very way of life is in conflict, then the person is doomed. And that's what he shows in these things, that the Derech HaChayim of all these different lifestyles are intrinsically in conflict. Okay? The Derech HaChaim of the empire builders in conflict, because he has to constantly think to himself, he's going to die, leave all this money, and who's going to take over? Okay, cannot get that idea out of him. How does he know whether the ones that are going to take over are going to use the money the way he thought he worked so hard, put his whole life, all his energies into it? What's going to happen to it? He has to block that out of his head. Because, even if he knows he's going to one generation, or the next generation. Look around you and see what happened to other people who left fortunes and what happened after they were gone. Okay? So, I mean, there's a big That's Dallas. That's Dallas. The person will say, well, that's not going to happen to me. Now, that is a false notion, again, which requires energy to maintain a certain fantasy. And if it requires, which means you have to blot out of your mind the realistic possibilities, there's a person in conflict. So that's the way he destroys basically every lifestyle. By the conflict that's necessary, that's how they have holy makol heaven means that it's heaven means nothing. Because when you look into it, there are always the other ideas, the reality. I mean, like you had recently an ecclesiastical event with the skater. Okay, I don't know if you're okay, but there's this news. The biggest skating team in the world, a young man, 28 years old, a success, midst of the success. What was the prophet say? Any person that is in the midst of success, they have to figure out what they're expecting to happen over there. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. That's already denial. I mean, denial means conflict, and conflict equals energy. That's basically the principle. That's the principle of Dallas. Okay? I'm not talking about a trying. There's a difference between a trying situation, even if a person has the correct outcome, there is nesonos outcome. There is nesonos. Because the person may have the proper derech, but there are events that take place in a person's life which bring the dynamics of the human personality into play. That's a different, that's a tolerable kind of thing. That you can tolerate. I mean, but if you have in your very derech a chayim in conflict, then it's hopeless. Then it's hopeless. A life which is filled with thoughts, wanting. I mean, the point is, if the person's essential, you ever kill him over here? There's a fantastic, depiction of Pilgrim, it's Iron Gimmel. I mean, I think it's a guy that everyone should learn about. Here's where he talks about, he talks about the problem of taking a look at the city of Shama successful. But then in the end, what does he say? He says, "Vani vavlo eda behemos hayisimah." What does it mean? It means to say, that's the sort of Avraham Avinu. And when it comes to the details of Shchav Onesh, the man doesn't know. You can't even aspire to it. Behemos hayisimah. He says to God, "I'm like a behemoth with God," which means no thought whatsoever. "Vani tomerimo chazto biyad yemini ba'tzoscha sanchini va'chakova tikachini." Okay. In other words, what he's saying, basically, then, insofar as the details, yes, they look successful, it's true. But my knowledge, you have to understand something. In Sefer Tehillim, there's an important concept. In Sefer Tehillim, The Dover HaMelech says that Hashem saves him. You can say from B'tochen. B'tochen is not an idea. B'tochen is a level of idea. B'tochen means that the person is moved by the knowledge of perfection. And it means the not when he says that God is machsi and God is Yeshua. All those ideas. What it means to say is that it doesn't. He doesn't. Really, if you look carefully through him, you'll see. I think it's the soul that's like to kill him. That if you look carefully through him, you'll see. It doesn't mean necessarily the God. It doesn't mean that his solace is in the Ashgachas Hashem, which is true. He does mention Ashgachas Hashem, but just as much of the time, if not more, he mentions the fact that his Yeshua comes from Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem is really what gives the person his strength. Which means to say that he sees the Yeshua being successful, but he understands the life of the Russian. He knows the life of the Russian is worth his existence. And he knows the benefits of his life and his way of life. The Yediyas Hashem, when he stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he sees the truth, so then the superficial rewards of the wicked are nothing. They pale. You understand? Yeah, it's straight through. It means to say that Yediyas Hashem, not Bitochon Hashem. That's what he means. Especially to put Lion Gimel, very good. It goes along with that point. But of course, a person is tzaras, but there's a difference between a tzara where the very personality is being torn, you see, or where the personality is solid. But there are external situations that you have to deal with. I mean, a general has problems in the battle, but sometimes the general's problems make the battle more interesting and more enjoyable. But if he knows he's on the right course, but if the general doesn't know whether he's on the right course or not, then it's a different kind of talk. You know you're on the right course, there are problems, of course. I mean, that's the way life is. As a matter of fact, I mean, in a certain sense, a person should be able to be removed enough to a certain degree to really enjoy how to execute properly the events that befall a person and require thought. This is part of this is something which a person can enjoy as well. I mean, it's a challenge, but it's something which the problems cause a person to think, and if he thinks properly, if he has a yesod, if the foundation is solid, and they think through the challenges, you should be able to enjoy some of the tzaras aren't just bad, tzaras are good also. Because pain, like Hidden Yeshua is big as sure. Okay? The problem is that a person doesn't have the right perspective, so any time that there's something untoward, he looks at it as something he wants to escape from. If not the sort of Yahadis, the greatest attribute, what is the greatest attribute of the novel? What is Ram saying? The greatest attribute? Courage. It means to say, but a person can't have courage, and courage has to be based on knowledge. Okay? If a person has knowledge and he knows his direct plan is the correct one, so then when there's something untoward occurs, something's bad, he's courageous. Just a minute. This has to be worked out. God gave me a sechel, and things work according to logic and reason, and now I have to be involved in working it out properly. That's something which a person should enjoy. There's certainly enjoyment in that. Tzaras aren't just bad. Tzaras are something which are good and good as well. But Yaakov Avinu had a life that had difficulties, but not intrinsic difficulties. He's there for fine. He knew very well. Okay? So the Derech, he knew exactly where he's going. But there were difficult challenges. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not save anybody, even the biggest tzaddik, from difficulties in life. That again is the religions of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The other religions always try to portray a certain kind of an idea that if you will be religious enough, you'll have no problems. That's the other religions. Yad just never says anything. The biggest Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, everybody, there's no such thing. That God does not protect a man from. That's part of his Nisoyon and Rechayim, is to face difficulties, to work them out according to Chachma, challenges, work them out, and if you work them out successfully, then it's something which a person should be. There should be a measure of enjoyment there too. Not just, this is not a religion of escapism. And escapism is the other one. They want to escape to the primitive state where they simply don't have any challenges. But that's not what Yad is. Yad does not portray in any of its figures. I always say heroic figures because we're not the heroes, but I mean to say the figures that the Torah presents for models, never portrays a life which is devoid of difficulties and challenges. That's not what this life is. Okay, part of this life is to work out the difficulties. Okay. It's a part of the chayah, part of life. I mean, God doesn't save anybody from that. Okay, but you see, that's always the problem. When someone from the outside looks at the life of the chacham, he never really sees what the life of the chacham is, because it's an impossibility. So what does he see? He sees the tzaras. I mean, he doesn't really see the enjoyment. He doesn't see the inner personality, the joy that the inner personality has. And Vani Kivas Ola Kim Lito. I mean, that only Kivas Ola Kim Lito is only a person that's on a high level. Yes. See, Nevuah requires, in order to have Nevuah, it requires a certain kind of a state. It requires with a person. Nevuah is a different kind of thing. Nevuah is something which our concept of Nevuah, I mean, requires a certain kind of overall happiness, even the psychological, even peripheral. The peripheral personality must be in a good state also, otherwise you can't have good. That's the whole thing with Yitzchak. That's a property of the world. But if you don't have this, you don't have the world. Life is never. I mean, it's only the peripheral personality that's disturbed. But the inner personality is sound. I mean, that's an important thing. Okay, Ibn Ezra says, because he says that the pasuk I mentioned before, it's in the end of Ayin Gimel, where he sums it up basically. Vani kivas alekim lito, shati bar Hashem alekim machzi. Okay, that's what I said. Bar Hashem alekim biyidias of Hashem alekim. Lesaper kol malachosa. Okay, so Ibn Ezra says, he says like this. He says, V'chasher yechkam ha-maskir. The person becomes very wise. V'yakir malachos Hashem. Okay, he understands the workings of God. It means the way God, his workings, his chachma in the universe. And the Torah, of course. V'yuchal asapram belibo o'el acher. He can understand them himself, or he can tell somebody else. He says it's capable. It means to say, he must be capable of, the idea must be capable of formulation, not just the theory. He says, Oz Yeda Das Elyon, Ubavurzen Niver Kolodim. Ubavurzen Niver Kolodim. So, that's the essence of man, the essence of man. Yahadus can't save a person from the mishaps of life. But it could save a person from the tragedy of the very of the loss of the essence of life. Okay, that's really what. Yeah, this never makes any claim. Like I said before, a person is going to have a wonderful, enjoyable life in terms of the physical life. So he raises. So Kehelas, I thought, Kehelas' question is a very unique question, because it's not a question about the veracity of the truth, but the question is, the person is still not going to have, how can a person be happy if he has a certain measure of unhappiness, because of the fact that he knows that, for instance, even the life of the Chacham, so he knows that he doesn't see any corroboration in the external world, he doesn't see any corroboration for anything special about even the life of the Chacham, which is the greatest life. Okay? So it's a yediyah, but it's a yediyah which doesn't have corroboration from the external world. That is a very disturbing kind of a thing. That's his question. This question is a philosophical, psychological question. It's true, but the life of the Chacham can be cut off just as quickly as the life of anybody else. You don't see anything special when you look around. You don't see anything special about any type of life, whether it's the life of a tzaddik, whether it's the life of a Chacham. There's nothing out there that you can point to that will show you that Chachamim used to be 90 years old and they live a good life. There's nothing to point to. The events are mikra echad lakol. Mikra means it happens. Things happen out of control with no rhyme or reason. There's nothing. So that's really his whole problem. His problem is, how can a person live a happy life if there's no corroboration for any principles you want to set forth? There's no corroboration from the external world, any lifestyle. That's his question. It's a unique question. Only Caliph asks this question. But that's the whole premise. Now, the question is, what is the answer? The question is, what is the answer? The answer really is on two levels. The first level is the practical. And the answer's come towards the end of the sefer. The answer's towards the end of the sefer. The first thing about the answer is on a practical level, where he says that a person must. I'll just still quote one pasuk, but there's a lot of pasukim on it. Tain chelek yeshiva gam l'shmona. It's in Yirala. Okay, that shalach lach mechal p'neim. That whole pair, shalach lach mechal p'neim mayim, tain chelek yeshiva gam l'shmona. Alright? Is any molu ha'ovim geshem alar shiriku v'mipolates badorim batzafu makom shipolates shom yehu. Alright? Shomer ruach lo yizra v'lo ha'ovim lo yukta. Alright? These psukim already are giving you an answer. What is the answer? Let's answer. See, shalach lach mechal p'neim mayim means, everybody knows the phrase, throw your bread upon the waters. It means to say that kiburov ha'yom in tinsa ena. It means to say, it's a difficult thing to do, a person to just disperse your money. I mean, a person wants something in return if he gives something definite. Shalach lach mechal p'neim mayim means be generous in general, it'll come back to you. Okay? What does it mean to say? It means to say that a person cannot live with an exactness, with the exactness that he wants. Person wants to give. You want to give something. You want to see a return. So basically, on a smaller level, it's the difference really between the businessman and the worker. I mean, the worker can only expend energy if he's going to get a return. That's why he's a worker. So he works. He punches a clock. Okay, every minute he knows he's getting money. A businessman is not that. The businessman knows that the money's not coming back so quickly. You have to do certain moves. It'll come back, they just do it intelligently, there'll be a big windfall. But you cannot expect to get a return on every energy output. Every outlay of energy is not going to give you a direct return. You have to know, there are things you have to do. Right now you're sinking in a lot of money, you don't see anything at this point. But if you have the foresight, in the future, it's a different kind of personality. So the worker can't do that. A worker at the moment, if he worked for one day and didn't see money, he can't do it. That's it. He's finished. He's depressed. So, shalach lach mechal p'nei amayim means to say that a person must attune his emotions to the way the world works, and not the way he wants it to work, which means that he wants to see a direct return. Okay? No, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you have to give. You don't see the return, but you know that in the future somehow, it makes sense. It's logical to do it because you will have a return. Okay? Tein chelek l'shiva gam l'shmona. That's what it means. Tein chelek l'shiva means you've got to prepare for. Shiva means the regular amount. But if you just prepare yourself for that which your mind sees alone, you're liable to be left out in the cold because there's the shmona. Something that you didn't expect. The unexpected. But you have to expect the unexpected. Okay? You can't be tied to a rigid, logical kind of a system which the emotions like to live by. See? That's what a person would like to live in a totally logical plan. I do this and I get rid. You can't do that. You have to. What do Chazal say? Baruch ato ba'ir, baruch ato ba'sadeh. So Chazal say, what does it mean? That's the brachos. So Chazal say, what does it mean? It means to say that you should invest in olives and tefillah and different things. And today it's called a diversified portfolio. Okay, that's what it means. Okay, why? Because a person, the average fool, is an individual who will put down $2 to win the lottery. Okay, that's his concept of investment. It means to say that this is the thing that's going to do it. They're looking for some dream. They have a dream and they're looking for something, some object, to identify it in order to fulfill their dream. Okay, that's totally emotionalism. Yeah. To be diversified is not as interesting, because diversification means it's not so interesting. You're going to lose here, you may not. If you do it, you'll be able to be successful. So it means that the mind must be attached to the reality of chance. The reality of chance has to play a role in your mind. That's basically what he's saying. You should be attached on a practical level. The person has to be aware of the fact that there is chance, and you have to play it with intelligence, not crazy, not to invest all your emotions in the thing that you think is going to bring about your fantasy, but you have to do it properly. I mean, basically, that's what it is. That's what it says. Shama ruach lo yizra. The person that's waiting to plant his seed, a beautiful mushroom, the person that's waiting to plant his seed is waiting for the right ruach, the perfect day to plant. There's no wind, there's not too sunny, there's not too rainy. He's waiting for the perfect situation. That person, he says, lo yizra, he'll never plant, because he'll never get the perfect situation. Okay? Again, the emotions of man look for the, if I'm going to plant, I want to be able to do it in the most perfect way. So I'll wait. Today's no good. That's not good. I'll wait till tomorrow. If a person thinks that way, he'll never plant. That's what Kabbalah says. You must be able to live in the imperfect. The best situation. Okay? That's basically what he's saying. On a practical level, that's one of the things that's he answers it on two levels, on a practical level and on a philosophical level. On a practical level, you must be able to use rationality insofar as the imperfections of life. And you have to take those imperfections into calculation. You can't be tied to the fancy. Okay. That's what it is. Kashen chayadea maderach ruach ka'atzomim beveten hamaleo. He goes on, Babokas Razarecho, Valarva Tankadeho. Sometimes you make an investment, so you get more, you say, if I would have known, I would have invested half as much. I didn't need to knock myself out so much. Yeah, sometimes you get too much, sometimes you get too little, but you have to work in a rational way. That's on a practical level. Okay. But now, yes, the people who are in the process. And as he said, that the one thing that you can test God with is getting stuck. If you get stuck, you will definitely get back. And it's true. So it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. Aser to aser. Aser b'shvil shetasar. I spoke about it a number of times. If you look carefully at the Navi doesn't say, he says, he's a chonini rabizos. And that's the one way, by the way, tzedakah is the one way, and as I'll say, that you can, so to speak, test God. I mean, but what it means is it's followed. It means that you follow the prescription of the Navi. It doesn't mean if a person magically believes by giving tzedakah that he's going to get back more, that it's going to work. That's not going to work. It says, it causes by the kosilachem bracha ad belida, which means to say, that if the person is looking for endless money, he's not going to be successful. It means by Kesachan Rafa'abi means if the person is looking for money within reason of his needs, it's a rational quest, then if he's an Osan Tzedakah, because Tzedakah is a rational thing to do, then he'll be successful, then he has the Asgah. But I know there's a case, people ask the question about certain individuals. I don't want to talk about that. I don't know individuals. I mean, can't find individuals. I'm just saying you can't point to certain individuals. This guy gave so much tzedakah and he went broke. The giving of tzedakah that leads to success is only if there's an ad b'lidai. But if there's no ad b'lidai, it's endless. Millions and millions and billions and billions. That is not included. You cannot pay off God. I mean, you can't. If you can just give money, then you're taking a fantasy and you're just transferring it over here. That doesn't work. That no, Yehadis doesn't give that kind of prescription. Yehadis says is a person lives according to Chachma, and he gives Dokens giving a Chachma too. You don't give away all the person doesn't give away all his money. There's nothing else in the money. He only has to give away a certain portion, up to 20%, maximum 20%. But there are certain exceptions. But I'm just saying, it's a system of Chachma, and if his need for money is in line with reality, and if he is realistic with his money, and he's a no-sin because he has the proper philosophy of what it means, Birkas Hashem, of money, if he's rational as a Chacham, then he'll be much less. That's what the money says. Yes? He says with regard to children. Because I'll say, Baboka's Raza Racham means you should have children when you're older and children when you're younger, right? Why? Because you don't know. Eze Yichsha. It means to say if a person has a fantasy of having a child, this is going to be the Gavador. This child's going to be the one that I'll live. That's wrong. Baboka is Raza Racham. What was his name? It means Inchayade. Eze Yichsha. You don't know. A person doesn't know. It means to say you have to face the fact that it's an unknown. You have to be content with that knowledge. And live according to that knowledge, not according to your fantasies and your illusions. Then you're going to be disappointed. Okay? No, is your question is that once I don't invest my energy, so I'm not going to be precious, so then there's no interest in life anymore. Yeah, I understand. So the money should be killed. That's good. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That is his problem. That's his problem. If you're going to say you're going to get excited, you're going to invest all your energy in this one dream. So most people's lives are moved by the dream. The dream. That's what destroys them. Because then, later in life, it didn't work out. And then they're upset. Okay? Their personal life didn't work out. This didn't work out. Their kids didn't work out. Their success didn't work out. Nothing worked out. So then they're depressed. But on the other hand, Rabbi Rosenthal saying is right. On the other hand, if you look at life and say, well, look, I don't know what's going to happen. So then you wind up in depression. You say, well, I'm putting all my energy into these kids. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. This is going on over here. Nothing. I mean, that's a good question. So then the question is, so then it leads to pessimism and depression and indifference and a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm. You see, the world understands enthusiasm. What's the world understand? How do you get enthusiastic? You think. What do they say? You can do anything. You can do anything. Get that idea in your head. You can do anything, and then you're going to be very enthusiastic. Which means to say, if you're totally unrealistic, you'll be enthusiastic. You'll be depressed later when nothing works out, but now you're going. That's basically the philosophy of the Hamal. That's today's philosophy. I mean, it's like the philosophy of the emotion. We'll go through that. But Kehelis has an answer for it. I'm going to be able to get to the answer. But Kehelis has an answer. Kehelis' answer is not indifference. Kehelis' answer is enthusiastic. But he works out the enthusiasm, okay? He works out the enthusiasm. Right. But the first thing he tells you is on a practical level, you've got to remove yourself from the fantasy. And you're right. At this point, at this juncture, you'd say that, okay, so what does that leave you? It's a very uninteresting, boring kind of life. Yeah. But now the question is, I mean, where does the enthusiasm come into the picture? You see? Where he speaks about, as we said before, the life of the Chacham. So what is a Chacham? What is it? The biggest Chacham. What is the biggest Chacham know? I mean, you take an Albert Einstein, the biggest Chacham. But Albert Einstein, somebody said, if you would have gone fishing for your time, he was 25 years old, you'd be the same Albert Einstein. Because all his discoveries came to his 25. After that, and he worked, all the equations, again, nothing worked out. That was it. So, what did Albert Einstein know about the other areas, philosophy and psychology? Very little, very little. He happened to have a very good set. Unbelievable Chacham. So things, you know, he intuitively lived a very good life, but he wasn't really knowledgeable. It was like a natural thing, a natural offshoot of his great mind. But he didn't really have an in-depth knowledge of philosophy, an in-depth knowledge of psychology. Other areas which are extremely important in life, limited. A person is limited. An individual, Bussin of Dumb is limited. I don't care who he is. His greatest mind is limited. So he says, what should I say? Amarti Achkom Avi Rechoko Limited. So Chachma itself has tremendous frustration. A person is enthusiastic about Chachma, they say, you want to grab in anything. Anything in sight you want to be able to master. But you can't. You can't. Human mind is limited, and even the greatest chacham has limitations. Okay, so this is something which you call in the correct terms a downer. I mean, something which depresses a person. Yeah, that's true. So the question is, where does, and the idea that, and as I said before, the profile of the life of the chacham, which you'd expect would be something that you'd say, well, this guy's going to have an unbelievable life. Yeah, but all these events, he's not immune to the events of life. He can die suddenly, go on an airplane crash, or a crash, anything can happen to him. So where is the enthusiasm coming from? Okay? There's one pasuk, and that's why he puts down even the life of the chacham in these terms. Okay? But there's one pasuk, which opens it up, which is very enthusiastic. Which pasuk is it? It happens to be about chacham. There's one pasuk in Galus, it's very enthusiastic. Okay? And that's where the answer starts to come in. Okay? First he says, no more chacham teni as yoseh, so what do I gain with all my intelligence? So what? What do I have more than anybody else? Mikrach of lakol. And amarti achkom avi v'chotom imen. A person who's a chacham could never really have the satisfaction that he's a chacham. Because the more of a chacham you are, the more you realize how ignorant you are. So therefore the chacham himself can never really satisfy the very emotion that drove him in the beginning to search for chacham. But then it's frustrating, because the more knowledge you have, the more you see. You know, a speck of nothing. Well, Einstein used to say that when you really know physics, you realize that you have a crude apparatus that's trying to understand the most subtle, fine ideas, and you don't have the proper apparatus for it. Okay, that's what a real chacham says. So where is this satisfaction? But there's one pasuk. The pasuk is in Pesach. Where he says, and it's a very, the statement is phrased enthusiastically. Mi kehacham, umi yodea peisho dover, chachmas adam toir ponav, v'oz ponav yishim. And that one pasuk, contains the central idea of his answer. Okay, it's interspersed. Again, I mean, to do justice to Kellis, I have to sit down and go through every possible shit. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go over you do that yourself. I'm just going to give you the basic theme. You'll see, it's expressed in a minute. But what does it mean? Mika Chacham? Suddenly, if he says that the Chacham really is nothing, then suddenly he says, Mika Chacham, who is like the Chacham? The Miyadea Pesha Dabar. Who knows how to interpret it? Chachmas Adam Toya Panah. A person's Chacham lights up his face. The O's point of Yeshunim, and the way he faces reality is totally different. He doesn't face reality with images. He faces reality purely with knowledge. It means to say that there is in man the ability, man has the ability to recognize knowledge in Chokmah and to just be awed by its very existence. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, A person who looks at a chacham has to admit, me ka chacham, me yodei peshav. When a chacham interprets something, you see how beautiful you understand it. That's something which inspires a human being, inspires the human mind, and there's nothing needs to be said to prove it to this one, just something which a person cannot deny. He's undeniably drawn to the fact that this is an essence. This is something which is Mika Chacham means it has no equivalent. There's no comparison. So in spite of the fact that the profile of the life of the Chacham cannot, nature doesn't differentiate, Mikrech Ad Lakol, but the fact is man, there's a part of man that recognizes Mika Chacham and Mika Chacham. There's nothing to compare to Chacham. One interpretation, when the Chacham interprets something, and you see the beauty of the ideas, man senses inside himself, that's eternal, that's an essence, that's something, there's nothing that compares to it. There's a part of man that recognizes that. It's intrinsic in man's nature, that's the Tzelem HaLokim. So what does Kehelis suggest, what's his answer? His answer is that in truth, you cannot really answer life if you're going to look at what happens external support. If you're looking for the success of the individual, then there's no answer. But there's a part of man that's intrinsically drawn to the greatness of God. There's an element in man's soul. That is the element that has to be expanded. You have to expand that element in your nature. And if you do, then you grab the chachma grabs you essentially, and then you have a very inferior physique. And everything else will work. Because you know this is the only way to cross the road. You realize that this is the only route that a person can take, and the inner self is satisfied. That's what he says. He says, the Pasuk goes, the Pasuk says, Dama Nefesh Lo Tamale. Dama Nefesh Lo Tamale means you'll never be satisfied with any kind of satisfaction of the other than heart. That's Mikacha. The answer is an enthusiastic life has to be one which demands a certain perfection. But it's a logical formula. The formula is that you must cater to that element. The element that recognizes that chachma is the only thing of value. And when a person is in the world of chachma, no one can talk away from it. Try not to. So that part of man is totally satisfied when he's involved in chachma. That's where the enthusiasm has to be. Now you're asking me, how could you be enthusiastic about a diversified portfolio? The answer is, Baruch HaTov Baruch HaTov HaTov HaTov, wasn't it? What was the answer? The answer is, if you're looking for the illusion and the fantasy, you're not going to be satisfied. But if you appreciate the chachma, then you can be very enthusiastic about the fact that you're executing things properly according to chachma, as I mentioned before. Then the person can be enthusiastic. Because he can be enthusiastic about the fact that everything does work according to Chachma, and he's living according to Chachma. That's where the enthusiasm comes into the picture. That's the answer to the, as long as man is in the world of illusion and fantasy, you can't be satisfied. There's no security, there's none of those things work. There's only one thing that can work. See, the world always looks for the future, they want to find some kind of guarantee. That's why, as a matter of fact, the Midrashim, like for instance, like the Hena Im of Meros, I mentioned, you know. So Chazal say, why was he blind? And Ibn Ezra says, Ibn Ezra says, we can't know. He says, and don't give me a punishable drush and tell me because the Malachim cried in his eyes. He says, what's the trap? Ibn Ezra knew that the Medrash is, the respect of the Medrash. What he meant is, the events in the Torah you really can't explain. Why did a person, why did he become blind if you think you know the things? You're just trying to, what you're trying to do is to find out, so you can think, well, what happened to me? Well, watch out for that. That's a dangerous thing. That's basically a selfish motivation. But if you want to say that the way the Torah is constructed is that you can have a limud about an idea that can that's related to the physical phenomena of blindness, that's correct. It's the order of the Torah is written in a certain way. Doesn't mean necessarily that's why Yitzchak became blind, but it's a true idea. From the Seder Aksuvim, the Torah is written in such a way that it tells you events that happen, and it also structures the events in a way that you can have limudim about these events. That's drush. What does drush mean? It means the darshan. Doesn't mean that that's the way it is. How many times Ramban says, yeah, this is the drush of Chazal, but this is a pshat. You take a look, say, the pshat's going against the drush. How can you do that? But the answer is, it's two different spheres. There's a sphere of reality of events, and then there's the Seder Aksuvim that God wrote with infinite Chachma, in which you can point to ideas pertaining to those events, which are correct, which are true. Doesn't say that this is the reason, but there is an idea related to this event. That's the whole idea of Jewish. If you don't understand that, you really don't understand Medrash. That's the holy soul of Medrash. That's what Medrash means. Medrash means that there are events in the Torah that are used and are described in a certain way that you can gain certain ideas about them. But if you think that you know that you know why Yitzchak was blind, that's a commercial Jewish consensus. You don't know. No one knows. That's what the way you know. You don't know why he was blind. You don't know why he was poor. You don't know why he was food in the house. All the Midrashim are just to teach you ideas. The special system of Midrash. The structure of the Torah. Not the true interpretation of the Torah. Okay. But But the first, that's the first segment of his answer. The first segment of his answer is that in order for man to have a good life, there must be enthusiasm concerning Chochma itself. Chochma itself. That's the first level of this. And he says this also with regard to Mishpat as well, where he says, for instance, that the first he says that there's no Mishpat, then he says that there is Mishpat. You see, what he means is that he says Shomer mitzvah, he says, the asim mishpat yeda leivcha. What does he mean? First, he says that there's no sin of mishpat. Show him to get away, you know. But then he says, shomer mitzvah yeda devara, the asim mishpat yeda leivcha. He means there's two kinds of mishpat. He's talking about the mishpat that you see outside, the superficial. That the person doesn't know. That's the hemos. But if you're talking about the idea of Mishpat, the concept of Mishpat, the ideas of justice, and the understanding of why the life of the tzaddik is superior from an intrinsic way, that's what he says. That's what he says. The Esim Mishpat Yeda Leiv Chacham. It means to say that Rashi is Esim Mishpat. So the Chacham Yadei Sheyesh Eis Kavur LePkudas Rishonim Mishpatim. It means to say, if you understand the concepts of Mishpat, the ideas of Mishpat, that is something which, that's what attracts the heart. The Leiv Chochem is attracted not to the superficial events. He doesn't take the superficial events into consideration. He doesn't know the events. But the idea of Mishpat, the idea of why the Russia must have his downfall and why the Tzaddik must have the superior life, that mishpat of Chacham knows. That's what attracts the The intrinsic is what attracts the Chacham, not the superficial. Now there's one more thing. So you say, okay, it's very nice, and man is created in a way that he can really be enthusiastic about Chachmah and about the ideas of mishpat. That's where his enthusiasm should be. It's true, but still and all, a person has a need for some kind of recognition, when I say recognition, I mean to say for some kind of thought that his life in reality is correct. In other words, a person, see, in man you have two things. The one thing is with regard to what a person is going to do. But then a person always thinks, when he does, what about what I'm doing? In other words, if a person decides to partake of a feast, the first thing is he's drawn to the food, okay? But then he thinks to himself, he has to think to himself, and what am I doing now? Is this something good or is not? He has to, because man, that's the way man is. Man doesn't just do, man reflects about the self. So this answer of Mikha Chacham is definitely, insofar as doing is concerned, it draws the person. But what about the fact? What about the other questions that he raised? That a person thinks about his life and he thinks, is there any real superiority? Am I just engaged in an action, or is there some kind of superiority in my existence if I exist this way? You understand what I'm saying? You can't not reflect on your life, because that's a part of man, that he reflects on his life. So you can't say, I'm drawn to Chochma, I'll just think. Yeah, fine, be very enthusiastic, very energetic, that's good. But a person also is going to think about his life and say, well, he has to have a measure of depression if there's nothing corroborating, that was the question, nothing corroborating the fact that he is a Chochma. He's not recognized chachmas and miskein bezuya, the poor person, even though he gave great advice, saved the whole city, but nobody recognizes him. So the person is looking for some kind of a recognition from the external, for the fact, some kind of, I would say, a kind of a stamp of approval on his life. The person needs some kind of stamp of approval on his life. And that, he's saying, it doesn't exist anywhere. So his first segment of his answer is that man is capable of driving his energy into chachma for its own sake. But this thing is the problem of the stamp of approval aspect, which is necessary for a human being in order to be happy. So that he answers that. Okay. That, yeah, by the way, what I mentioned before, in Test Zion, for instance, if you take a look, where he says that the person saved the whole city, but he wasn't impoverished, he was poor, he wasn't recognized. And people say, he didn't save the city, it's me, I did it, it's something else. Okay? So he says, Vishlo Vamo Zachar Sishim Miskino, Vamati Tova Chachma Medvura, Vachachma Samiskin Bezuyo Dvorvein Mishmoyim. So he says, it doesn't matter, but the Chachma itself is better than the Dvorah. The Dvorah is just an external thing that he saved the city. He wants recognition, so he says, forget about that. But Tova Chachma Medvura, the Chachma itself is the beauty. You see, that's where he tries to move you towards the idea of the intrinsic value in recognition of Chachma. He says, Divrei Chacham Menachas Neshmoyim. Rashi, beautiful Rashi. Also, what does it mean? It says, Mizakas Moshe Batzion. It says, Moshe Nifter Zekam Hashem. Moshe Pesach, many years Moshe may have died. Vadayim Zerosov Mekubolim on Yisrael. So he says, but there is something, here he's showing that there is something unbelievable, even in this earthly existence, the Chachma. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a powerful orator. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have all the trappings of what the world considers a successful person, and it was the nachas nishmoyim. I mean, it wasn't a zaaka. It was nachas, means it had nothing to go by except the words themselves. Imagine the nachas nishmoyim. But at Hayom Hazeh, you see that his jealous is still alive. So he shows that there is some element of eternity to Chachma. It's an interesting thing, where Chazal pull it up, because Chazal are aware of the fact that a person does need some kind of satisfaction and some kind of external verification. That's what he uses for external verification. Okay, that's very funny, because he mentioned Albert Einstein before, that's what he said, he'd like to meet Moshe Rabbeinu, to see if the people would, if he thought that people would still be keeping his jealous, if it's a pasuk, is Mechavi to pasuk? It's amazing, I told you, intuitive mind. Kaelis Test Zion is where he really elaborates a little further on this idea. See, so this. Lech echo besimcho lachmecha ushei v'leiv tel v'inecho. So over here it seems again a contradiction. Because first he says simcha is nothing. Well, simcha mazo also. It's nothing. Why? You enjoy yourself in a moment, it's gone. So what good is it? What do you have out of it? So you enjoyed yourself in a moment. You want more than that. After the hour's over, it's all gone. Here he says, no. Lech echo b'simcha l'afinecha, which save a leif of yinecha. He's telling you to do this. This is his answer. I mean, because he's telling you, when he says leif, he's telling you the solution. Okay, that's what he tells the solution from the problem. The problem is he raises the problem. When he gives advice, it's, you know, it's answer. But he says in the end of the passage, ki kvor rotzah olekim mes masa. What does it mean? It means the knowledge that in reality, God knows that this is the correct action. That is where the satisfaction of man is dependent. So that's the second segment of his answer. The first segment of his answer is, it's immaterial. Forget about external corroboration. Mi ka chacham, that itself should draw you. Okay? That's enough. That's enough really to draw you to the life of chacham. Okay? That alone, its intrinsic value. The ideas of mishpat. The ideas of why the good life is truly the superior, the better life. The chachma, okay? But then the person's need for stamp of approval, where is that? Where is that? There is a stamp of approval. Shvar rotzoho lekim is masa. But you know that God knows that this is the correct life. So that means that in reality, there is a realistic... There is a realistic verdict about your existence. Okay? That is where the satisfaction of man should come from. Then it's not kasha. See, if it's enjoyment or simcha mazos, a person has to indulge in pleasures. So then he always has a problem. So what do I get out of it? There's no gain in terms of the satisfaction. The person needs some kind of secret satisfaction. You know what I mean? Where do you get that? You can't. So that's why it's frustrating. That's the life of pleasure. It's frustrating. It's frustration. It goes from one pleasure to the next, and then it goes from pleasure to depression. The pleasure is gone. So it's frustrating. But the life of the chacham, you can enjoy the enjoyment of eating. And Chazal say, whenever it says achil shi'ah, it means tar. But it means in this pitrashma also. It means he enjoys chachma, and he can enjoy the physical enjoyments of life as well. And he knows barotza lekimis mesach. That's where the satisfaction is. That's where the satisfaction is. Okay? Those are really the two segments of his answer. The first is the enthusiasm that stems from the chacham itself. And then there's a satisfaction. You have to remove yourself from the not only from the recognition of man, and not only from the